If you turn with me this morning to Jeremiah chapter 29, in the Church Bibles it's page 529. We read that in our Church Bibles, the title to the chapter is Jeremiah's Letter to the Captives. Jeremiah is writing to the Jews who were in exile, away from home in Babylon. Now, the original exiles to whom it was written were the elders, priests, prophets, all the people of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive. He carried them away from Jerusalem to Babylon, 597 BC, taken into exile. Their whole world turned upside down. Babylon was a strange land. The landscape, the language, the faces, the customs, even the weather, everything was different. And they weren't used to it. They felt a profound dislocation, a loneliness. They were away from home. And this is God's letter to these exiles. It's been called one of the most important documents in the Old Testament. It describes how does God want his people to live while they're in exile. I mentioned to you about hiraeth, that Welsh word which means homesickness. And the songs of, many of the songs of Wales are songs of longing, of home, of being in exile but wanting to be home. But for Christians this morning, this exile that Jeremiah is speaking about, to be away from home, is a reminder to us that in the New Testament, Christians are spoken of as exiles. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, writes to the elect pilgrims, the elect exiles. Those who have been chosen and called by God out of this world to faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 verse 13 says, we are strangers and pilgrims. We are exiles in this world. It's one of the ways you know this morning if you're a Christian. Do you have this sense that though you're living this morning in London, and here you are in this congregation in London, but actually, ultimately, London is not your home. Heaven is your home. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you have an assurance of a home in heaven. How can you have that assurance? Only through faith in Jesus Christ. But we remind ourselves then this morning that as this letter is written to exiles, there's an interest in this for us too. This letter concerns us. If you're a Christian, we are exiles. So there's nothing more important for us to hear this morning, to know. How are we to live in exile? What counsel do we need from God? Well, I want to look at three parts of the counsel given to the exiles in this chapter. And the first in verse 4 and then in verses 8 and 9. Understand God's providence. Understand God's providence. We sometimes think of providence as an impersonal thing, like something abstract out there, divine law working itself out. But providence isn't an it. Providence is a he. Providence, we can say, is God at work. God at work. But if anything seemed to have nothing to do with God, you might have thought this is it. Look at verse 1. Where it says, all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. The emperor of Babylon had done it. There'd been a rebellion in Judah. The Babylonians had invaded. Nebuchadnezzar had come and conquered and carried away the cream of the people. So the cream of the people were away from home, they were in Babylon, a puppet king, Zedekiah, was left on the throne. It seemed the absolute reverse, the opposite of anything that God would plan anything that God would want, anything that God would do. How could it be God's will for a heathen king to take his people into exile in Babylon? But then look at verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Not Nebuchadnezzar. God says, I did it. I allowed it. In fact, even more strongly, verse 7, the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. I caused it, God says. Now that's the first thing they needed to hear. For better or worse, this appalling tragedy is not outside God's control. This is not outside God's providence. God is at work. Now that's true for every one of us this morning. Living in exile in this world, if you're a Christian, there are times when you're tested. Times when there are tragedies. Times when there are difficulties. Times when there are problems. But God not only knows all about it. God is working out his purposes through it all. God working out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, the Bible says. And that's something for us to hang on to, even in the bad times. Perhaps especially in the bad times. To say, if you're a man or woman of faith, I can't understand this. I can't explain this. I can't work out exactly what's happening, but I know that God is in this somehow. God has a reason for it. God has a plan. To understand God's providence, they were in exile. And in one sense, things even got worse because there were phony preachers among the exiles. I'm afraid that phony preachers are not a new phenomenon. There were these phony preachers. These men were making a good living for themselves with seeker-sensitive sermons telling people exactly what they wanted to hear. So these phony preachers were saying, we're only going to be in exile a few weeks. Just a few weeks and we'll be home. And the people loved it. That's great, they thought. They crowded to hear them. They paid big sums of money. That's the message they wanted to hear. Like today's prosperity preachers who are popular with naive people. They tapped into the mood. They scratched where people itch. They told them what they wanted to hear. And that's always good business. Listen to the Lord's analysis, verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in the midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. You're not going home in a few weeks. That's a lie. That's wishful thinking. You're going to be in Babylon for a lot longer than that. So for the present, forget about going home. The reality is, you're in Babylon. Now that's the bracing reality of God. God is honest with you and me this morning, if you're a Christian. He says to you, there's no spiritual silver bullet which puts everything right in this world. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning in an ideal world. All problems solved. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we're not living in an ideal world. So the preachers who are saying it's soon all going to be finished, everyone's going to be happy, they're exposed as liars by Jeremiah. But the point Jeremiah is making to the people is that this exile is not some black hole into which God's purposes now are totally lost. Remember this, God says, I have caused you to be taken into exile. I did it. Perhaps you have some painful problems in your life this morning. Some perplexing mysteries. Difficulties that you think are impossible. Understand God's providence. You hold on to this. Somehow God is in it. God is in it. He knows what he's doing. So when you think you're in a black hole and God has forgotten you, understand God's providence. Then secondly, give yourself to God's program. Verses 5 to 7. Give yourself to God's program. God has a program for his people in exile. He doesn't want them to waste their years in Babylon. He doesn't want them to spend their time dreaming about the good old days. Oh, I remember what it was like when I was back in Jerusalem. Full of regrets about the past. He doesn't want to spend their days in fantasies and daydreams and delusions. He wants them to live in Babylon for his glory. What is God's program? What are they to do? Well, it's surprisingly earthy. You'll find that God's program for them involves bricks and spades and wedding dresses and nappies. Not highfalutin, not airy-fairy, down to earth. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. Verses 5 and 6. That's God's program for them. Settle down in Babylon. Plan for the long term. Build houses. Don't just live in temporary tents. Plant gardens. Don't depend on the local takeaway. Rear families. God encourages them to rear families for 3 generations, 70 years. We'll see that's very important. You see it there in verse 6. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there, increased in number, there in Babylon, and not diminished. So God says to them, give yourself to living rich, satisfying, creative, fully human lives, even though you're in exile. So there for us this morning is the importance of the ordinary things of living in this world, if anything is ordinary. Our homes, our families, our daily work, our gardens. Some of us wish gardens wasn't there, but there it is. Gardens, boy. And amusements and recreations. God's program. But we're to live for God. And you see there are echoes here of creation blessing. Verse 6, that you may be increased there and not diminished. Remember what God said to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply. And there are echoes too of covenant blessings and cursing here. In Deuteronomy 28, God warned rebellious people, you shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Your sons and daughters will be given to another people. And yet, God amazingly here reverses that curse. God says, I'm going to cancel the curse. Even though you're in exile, you can live beautiful, productive, fruitful lives to my glory, even though you're in Babylon. And then comes an even bigger surprise. What a shock these words must have been. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Now they must have thought, Lord, are you serious? Seek the peace of Babylon, this godless, heathen, wicked place. Yes, is God. Be good citizens in Babylon. be salt and light in Babylon. Don't opt out. Don't be ostriches. Don't be rebels. Don't be uninvolved. Commit yourself to this community where God has placed you. Seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Seek its shalom, its well-being, its wholeness, its prosperity. So here we are this morning, if you're a Christian, living in exile in London. What happens then when the people of God take seriously what God says through Jeremiah here? Seeking the prosperity of this land, of this society, of this nation. Now we might say, wouldn't it lead us to just blend in with society? Become worldly. Become part of it. Wouldn't it be safer to stay away from it? If we stay away from it, we won't be contaminated. Well, you could be contaminated, but you shouldn't be, because our commitment is to be on God's terms, not on the world's terms. Not to be do-gooders in the world's terms, but to do good on God's terms. Remember at verse 7 there where God says, and pray to the Lord for it. Now that is a shocking thing. Perhaps they wanted to pray for the destruction of Babylon. But God says, pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you'll prosper. And there are echoes here of Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. But now they're not in Jerusalem. So now God says to them, pray for Babylon. Pray for its prosperity and its peace. Our prayers for the city of God offered for the greatest enemy of the city of God. So here's the outreach of the gospel. Here's the grace of the people of God to be a channel of peace, a channel of blessing,